morning, it's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll find out why our guest says emergency service providers are crucial to healthcare in rural Wisconsin.
First, the Marquette Law School released a new poll today that surveyed Wisconsinites on a variety of topics, from the race for president to the rematch of Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson to represent Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate.
The poll also looked at Governor Scott Walker's approval rating in the state. This is the second poll since Walker dropped out of the Republican race for president.
The poll sampled 803 registered voters from around the state, with 326 identifying as Republican and 374 as Democrats. The margin of error for the entire poll was plus or minus 4.2%.
Joining us now is Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette Law School poll and professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. Charles, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
So let's start with the remaining candidates for president on the Republican side. Who is leading in Wisconsin right now?
Ben Carson is taking the lead in this month's poll with 22%, but he's very closely followed by Trump at 19 and Rubio at 19. And the gap between those is within the margin of error. In September, it was Trump on top with 20%. Carson at 16 and Rubio at 14. So Rubio's up 5, Carson's up 6, and Trump is down 1 from the September polls. Nobody else made it into double digits, though Ted Cruz was 4th at 9% and Jeb Bush further back at just 6%.
So Marco Rubio has made the most progress percentage-wise since the last poll. What would you attribute that movement to?
Well, the obvious is debate performance, which was generally well received. Our poll was in the field the Thursday through Sunday after the debate held in Milwaukee, and also overlapped the Democratic debate from Iowa on Saturday night, though most of our interviews were completed before the Democratic debate was held. We've seen Rubio rise in national polls as well, and I think what we're seeing in Wisconsin broadly reflects those national shifts.
And do you think that there is much of a difference if a debate that is right before a poll is actually held in that state? Does that make any kind of difference?
No, I don't think we see evidence of that from past polling. There certainly can be shifts if there's something truly dramatic that happens in a debate, but those are actually more the exception than the rule. Excuse me. And I think what we saw here was a good debate that exhibited differences in policies among the candidates, but not one that fundamentally changed the standing of the candidates.
So
the trends that we've seen have been continuing since the debate.
Well, let's move over to the Democratic side of the ballot now. What did you see as far as who Wisconsinites are liking as a Democratic candidate for president?
Here, Hillary Clinton has a lead at 50% to Sanders at 41%. And Martin O'Malley is way back at 2%. In September, we were still including Joe Biden in the question. And at that point, Clinton was at 42, Sanders at 30. So the margin between the two has narrowed from 12 to 9 points, as Biden's 17% of supporters have redistributed themselves among those other candidates.
And are you able to see where those Biden supporters have gone?
No, we did not ask people to remember whether they would have liked Biden to be in the race. I think you just see the net changes, relatively modest, from a 12-point to a 9-point Clinton advantage suggests that while there may have been some shifting of due to Biden supporters, that's a relatively modest change over a six-week period.
Now, you looked also at who would be the strongest candidate from one party against potential candidates on the other side. Who looks the strongest on each side when they're matched up against the opponent?
Here it's quite interesting. Sanders does better against the three Republicans tested, Carson, Rubio, and Trump. Sanders does better against all three of those than Clinton does. And in fact, Clinton trails by 1 percentage point Carson and Rubio. In both cases, Clinton's at 44, but both Carson and Rubio are at 45. We had not asked about Carson before, but back in September, Clinton had an 8-point lead on Rubio, 48 to 40. So that's a net 9-point shift to put Rubio just a single percentage point ahead. Clinton beats Trump 48-38, but Sanders beats Trump 52-35. So what we're seeing is, while Clinton is leading in the Democratic primary, Sanders does a little better against all three of these Republicans than Clinton does, and Clinton actually is in essentially a tie, but just 1 point behind in the case of Carson and Rubio. By the way, that's very similar to national polls, which has shown a similar trend in the Clinton versus Carson and Rubio matchups. So as with the primary, we're seeing Wisconsin track national trends in that way.
We're talking with Charles Franklin. He's director of the Marquette Law School poll, which released its most recent findings just today. Now let's look at the U.S. Senate race. We have a matchup of incumbent Ron Johnson, a Republican, being challenged by Democrat Russ Feingold, who held the seat before Johnson. What are you seeing in that race?
In this race, Feingold has an advantage 49% to Johnson's 38%. That's a little changed. In September, it was 50% for Feingold, 36% for Johnson. So hardly any movement, a couple of points either way. Feingold has led in the four polls we've now asked this question in this year, and has averaged around 49, plus or minus a couple, while Johnson has averaged around 39, plus or minus a couple. So this month's poll is in that same ballpark. And most importantly, we're not seeing a sharp trend for or against either of these candidates yet, but we're just barely less than a year out from the election, so a long ways to go on that one.
And that brings up a question, because as of yet, neither Johnson nor Feingold have a primary opponent, so they're a year out. Going back just briefly to the presidential, we're 3 months out from the primary. Mm-hmm. Do you expect a lot of movement there?
Certainly I do, in two ways. One is, we almost always see a good deal of shuffling in the month that leads up to the start of voting in the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary. So I would expect us to see a lot of turmoil in the polling in January as we get into that last month before the election. The other is, we still have a lot of candidates on the Republican side who are polling at 1 point, 1 percentage point, or even 0 percentage points. It's very hard to see how they stay in the race after the voting begins, unless they surprise us by suddenly doing a lot better. That means there's necessarily going to be a good deal of shuffling of the candidates as we get into the voting in February and March before we get to vote in April. And there the real question is, will there still be a contest in April when we vote, or will it have been settled in the months before, in the 2 months before?
So you also asked voters about Governor Walker's approval rating in the state. In September, it was 37% approving, 59% disapproving. What did you come up with this time?
This time it's 38 approve, 58 disapprove. That's hardly changed and is part of a pattern in 2014 where his approval rating has been in this same ballpark. We've seen approvals this year of 41, 39, 37, and now 38. So it's a tick 1 point up this month compared to September, but the last three polls have all been in the same range. We've not seen a big change one way or another since he left the presidential race.
Those are all overall numbers, but do you see any difference in how Republicans or Democrats are rating him?
Well, it's hardly a surprise that Democrats are pretty negative about the governor and have been for a long time. I think the most important thing is that while Republicans are positive towards the governor, independents are negative, more disapproval than approval. And that's a change for him, and certainly an area where if he's going to recover his standing, he needs to bring some of those back. Right now, among independents, 58% disapprove, only 29% approve.
And Charles, you tweeted earlier this afternoon that Wisconsin voters are, quote, quite pessimistic, end quote, about state jobs and the picture there right now. What in this poll led you to think that that's a good summary of the feeling out there?
Yeah, we're seeing quite a shift in perspective on jobs in the state lately and the economy more generally. We've been asking for quite a while if people think Wisconsin is adding jobs faster, the same, or lagging behind other states. And this month, 57% say lagging behind, 31% the same, just 6% say faster. In three times we've asked that question in 2015, lagging behind has been running right at 50%, up about 10 percentage points from where it was during 2014 and 2013. So that's a sign of a real change in the public's perception of the jobs picture here. Part of that is probably mass layoffs, which have been widely reported and have gone up this year compared to last year. We asked if people had heard of the closing of plants in Waukesha and Madison, the GE and Oscar Mayer plants. 70% statewide had heard of those closings. Only 30% had not. And when we asked about new hiring and additional jobs at Amazon and Quad Graphics, it was an even split. 50% had heard, 49% not heard. And those that had heard were heavily concentrated in the Milwaukee media market, the southeastern part of the state where those jobs are located. So you see some asymmetry here between bad news and good news. And balancing that is a continued decline in the state unemployment rate, which suggests maybe the jobs picture is not so bad. So the public is really taking a fairly pessimistic view of the situation right now.
Charles, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Charles Franklin, a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School poll. You can find a link to the latest Marquette Law School poll, which was released today, on the Central Time Facebook page.